floor before it's over with, so don't worry about that, and I won't worry about it either. First, we've got a lot of people that are involved in the awakening, and this is where our youth go. It's like the old-fashioned word for it's a retreat, so to speak, where we create an environment, and there's some churches that get together and do this, where they're shut completely away from the world and they focus on God for a few days. I won't give a lot of details because there's some of you that I want to go to that in the future, and I can't say a lot about it until you get there. So Pastor Jason and deacons and different people are gone. But boy, I have a good crowd today. I thought I was going to have 20 people because usually when I preach, I'm kind of like the cleanup man and everybody takes off, you know, even my own family. But I even see a lot of people from my family here today, so that's good. I'm going to acknowledge a few people. You know, I got to have that time where I embarrass you. You know about that. And you guys know if you're guests here, you stand up and tell your whole story, your whole life. You know that, right? Not really. We won't make you do anything like that. And I see Gary sitting back there. He knows I'm looking at him. You hear me talking about going to Israel and the pastor I went to Israel with and different things. That's Gary and Angie Moody. That's his dad. And even during practice, I told a little joke about a guy that gets all excited when he preaches about heaven. Gary's a preacher's kid, Gary and Angie, his wife. And he used to get all excited talking about heaven. He'd jump up and down and get to yelling, his arms would go, and sometimes he'd hit the light and it'd fly off. Remember that, Gary? And remember the morning, Gary, I was telling them that he got all excited about heaven and he was saying how he was going to hop around Hallelujah Square, and he got all mixed up and said Hollywood Squares. Do you remember that one? He didn't know he said it. I do the same thing, though. You're liable to hear me say something because invariably Gail or somebody will correct me. Did you know you said such and such? And that'll just ruin my day because I think, oh my land, how many people caught that? So I might today, but I want you to hear the Spirit of the Lord. Valerie, it's good to have you here today too, Valerie Woodard. I see a lot of guests and people, and just make yourself at home here. This is really good. And Eleanor's back again and just recently lost her husband. Keep the Crow family in your prayers. It's tough to lose somebody you love. I've been through that. It's not easy. So with that said, we're going to begin. And I'm going to start in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And I'm going to caution you today. We have so many different translations out there that I find if somebody's reading from a different translation, I'm reading from mine, it detracts from me understanding that scripture. Because the words aren't always put the same way, and you're trying to hear the person giving the word, and you're trying to read it, and if it isn't saying exactly the same thing in words, it can become a detraction. So I'm going to ask you, we'll start with this scripture, but write the scriptures down and hear what I'm saying more than trying to flip to these scriptures in the future through the message. I want you to hear the word of God and not get confused by turning pages and saying, well, you know, my translation doesn't word it exactly that way. And I won't go off on all that. You know that bothers me. That's one of my issues with all these translations. But 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And this is the way Paul, one of the things he was writing to Timothy here. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. What a list is that? He said that's in the last days. And you've been hearing a lot about that from Pastor Jason. He's been talking a lot about that, and you're probably saying at this point, well, here we go again. Here comes another message that'll scare us to death when we walk out of here. We want to go live in a cave. It's not going to be that way at all. The title of my message is, But God. Remember when Leela was here a few weeks ago? She said, But God. It stirred something in me. So I want you to say, repeat after me, the world is a mess. But God. We're pressed in by every side. But God. Lawmakers are going crazy. But God. Times may be getting darker. But God. Sometimes my family is a mess. But God. You see, we can name a lot of things here. But when you put "but God" in the equation, and we focus on all this stuff going on, and it feels like you just want to go hide somewhere, go in a closet. But we forget about God and His side, and His side of the matter, and what He has to say. So I'm going to start. The first part of this message may sound like I'm going a certain direction, but I'm not. I'm laying a foundation because we know where we're at. But you may say, why is this happening? We read this whole long list of things in the world. And the first thing he says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. I had the kids in class last week, and I won't tell you what the lesson was totally about, but we talked about some of these things. Lovers of their own selves. And how many of you on Facebook? I am. Some of you found out I'm preaching today on Facebook either time or said, well, I'm not going to that church Sunday. But you notice all the selfies when you say lovers of yourself. Everybody's got a selfie. Here I am in the car. Here I am over here. Here I am eating spaghetti. Right? Selfies. The kids and I were talking about people that took dangerous selfies. One girl got electrocuted trying to take a selfie. Some person standing at the edge of the cliff and fell off. On the news the other day, a woman up in Wyoming wanted a selfie with a great big buffalo behind her. And they're wild and they're mean. So she got as close to as she could. Look, here I am with the buffalo. And then the thing attacked her and threw her. She lived through it, but like to killed her. We want people to notice us, don't we? Selfies everywhere. And you go through this long list of stuff and you see this going on in the world. And you may ask yourself the question, why is this happening? Now, I'll tell you, all these things listed have always been in the world. They have. But the difference today is that there's more of it. There's more unfaithfulness probably than ever before in a marriage. There's more of these things. Even down to earthquakes, there's more earthquakes. And you ask yourself, why is this? And there's more of this kind of thing. It's more rampant throughout the world. What unseen force is causing more and more sin to be common in our land? What is it? And it's explained quite plainly in the book of Revelation. And like I said, I'm going to read this. So it's in Revelation 12. But it says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon." And Michael is the strong angel. And if you got the name Michael, remember what that's associated with: strength. Michael's a warring angel. And you're going to find here in this passage that he overcomes Satan. Satan didn't overcome him. It says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer." This war that went on and was going on, and I believe it is in the days we're living in, there's a war going on, and Michael is, by the order of God, casting Lucifer out of heaven, out of a heavenly realm. Goes on to say, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now here's an interesting, curious thing. Where was he cast? Where is he being cast in the end? Of all places God could have sent him to Jupiter, he could have sent him to some other galaxy. Why did he send him to Earth? Now, I don't know, I probably shouldn't put the kids on the spot, but I've taught on this. Does anybody here remember? You're going to give me a blank look. I can see it already on your faces. Why Satan cast Lucifer here of all places where we are? I mean, we know God loves us. Anybody want to, you know, venture to guess? Do you guys remember why I said that he was cast here? And Reed, we just talked about this the other night. I'll tell you. Glad you asked that question, right, Kevin? Here was the place where God, he created man in his own image. He loves us. We were created in his own image, the apple of his eye, looking at us. And here was the place, since Satan is at war with God, that he decided to do the most damage. Here was the place on earth where he deceived mankind, tricked us. And since then, the world has been in peril. Death came on the earth, and it's just like an obscene gesture towards God. Look what I did to your creation. Look how I got them to trust me instead of you, God. You want to know why he's cast here to the earth? Because here is where he's going to be his final judgment. Here is going to be the place where when Jesus lives in the church, that we're going to withstand him and we're going to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? We're going to overcome him. The very thing that Satan tried to do, God's going to turn him on his head, being cast to the earth. And the Bible says in another place, the dragon was cast and his tail took a third of the stars. Many scholars believe that that's the other fallen angels that followed him, because the Bible makes it clear that other angels followed the enemy and he's taken them with him. And they're all here because God cast them here in the final day for the final showdown. And guess what? The church is going to prevail and the church is going to win and God is going to have the final say. He's going to have the final say. And the very people that Satan thought were weak, Jesus is living now and now we're strong. No matter what he does to us, we're strong. But God, right? Right? And that's why he's cast here. And that's why there's so much more chaos all around the earth, and you can't see him unless the Holy Ghost opens your eyes. There is demonic activity. They're tempting people here and there, and you're reading in the paper, why did that person do that? What were they thinking? And it's more and more prevalent now. So if you wonder why, God is preparing the heavens. He's cleansing them, getting ready for us to be there. We're not going to be there with the devil and the tempter. He's got a clean house. We're going to go to a place where we're not tempted anymore. We're not having to deal with stuff anymore. So that's the first part. And he's taking the devil here because here's going to be his final judgment. Here's where he created the most viable sin against God. So it's no wonder he's here. So think of it that way. Revelation 12:12 says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows his time is short." He even lies to himself. He knows his time is short, so he's still going to do as much damage as he can. Jesus also talked of this time at the end of the age we're living in. In Matthew 24, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let them who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to the..." Now, Elisa, I don't want this to freak you out. Elisa's about to give birth to my second great-grandson and their family. But it says, "Woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days." Now, we're not there yet, okay? There's a lot of things that got to happen. I don't want you walking out here and saying, "Steve, oh my gosh, let's go to a mountain and live." But it says, "And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." The elect is us. And that's a time that is coming. There's too many things that have not happened yet. We've been studying a lot about blood moons, you know, lately. There's been a lot of blood moons. But I'm going to tell you something. At the time of the end, the Bible says that the sun will grow dark and the moon will become blood. So the both things have to happen. It's good to watch those things and to know it's coming, but stay in the scripture, like Jamie said in Sunday school. Stay in that scripture and know. Well, the sun hasn't grown dark yet. I got bad sunburn the other day, so it's still burning bright. But this is what Jesus said was going to come at some point in the future. And finally in Daniel 7, because he referred to Daniel the prophet, he said, "I was watching and the same horn was making war against the saints." Against the saints. We're still here. And he was prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, speaking of Jesus, "and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom." So Daniel saw that time where he would wear out the saints, that he would come against the saints of God right near the end. And it's a short time. It's not a big, long, drawn out, all your life thing. So with all that said, I still have to say, but God. Right? Say that again with me. But God. I don't want you walking out of here terrified. Oh my gosh, the end is near. You know, I don't want you to feel that way. And if you're not a Christian today, I don't want you to feel that way either, but you have to get in Christ. You need to get under the blood of Jesus. You need to call on him as Savior. Or these things, you really need to be concerned about them. Now, I'm going to proclaim here today, with all that said, most of the heavenly host of angels did not fall from heaven. The kids know full well who what demons are. They're fallen angels, fallen spirits. And the Bible, the most that we can find in Scripture that fell was a third. But you know what? That means two-thirds are still loyal to God. Two-thirds, and they're more powerful. God has His agents out there, and He already overcome them and is overcoming them in the heavenly realm and casting them here. Never forget that. When you think of evil pressing in, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has the upper hand. Two-thirds of His holy angels are still very faithful to Him and are very strong. I remember Kian coming over a few weeks ago, and he found some good videos that he was pulling up and things that are going on in the earth, and he's getting on to some things. Pretty heavy stuff for somebody your age. And I know this stuff's going on, Kian, and it's good stuff, and we're going to talk about that more. But you gotta always remember, when you see this stuff happening, God has the upper hand. We win this battle. And we win it big. In Hebrews 1:13-14, he was talking about his angelic host. And a lot of my message is going to deal with angels today. Those agents that God sends out that are way more powerful. We've had enough of demons. I mean, we see them every day. We deal with them even when we don't see them. We don't think a lot about God's agents, do we? We sometimes want to focus on that dark side. Well, let's not today. Because in Hebrews 1:13-14, this is what the writer of Hebrews said. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? And he's talking of the angels now. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And what does that say to you and I if we know Jesus Christ today? He sends out angels to minister to you every day, to protect you. You may never know this side of heaven, the times that you were in danger of dying or an accident or something, and an angel went before you and prevented something. You may never know that. But he sends them out as ministering spirits. They're there. Now, and when I tell you that, I don't want you to try to seek him out or talk to him. I'll talk about that in a minute. That's not what you're supposed to do. You trust the Lord, and he assigns them to you. But they're there, even if you don't see them. And there are sometimes saints of God with a gift called discernment of spirits have been able to see angels and demons both. But that's a gift from the Holy Spirit, and there's something you're to do with that gift. But they're all around. They're in this room today. He's assigned angels to our churches to look out over us. It's not just a little fairy tale you hear when you were a kid. I remember one day coming from Indianapolis, and of course I lived way up in Thorntown, and I worked down in Indianapolis for a while, and it was near a Resurrection Sunday. It was in April, early April. And I was going up I-65, and the water on the road, the temperature had a sudden drop. And I didn't know it, neither did anybody else know it, and thank God I drive slow. Some of you know how slow I drive. Yeah, I still drive real slow, Gary. But you know, now I'm even slower than I was. But I drove, and all of a sudden I felt my vehicle slipping a little bit, and I thought, ooh, this is ice. And I no sooner thought that thought that a car in front of me lost control and hit the guardrail. And a car on up the way, I saw that car spin. Everybody was hitting this patch of ice out on 865 out there. And that's direct section of the interstate where you get to Zionsville. So I kind of coasted over to the stop to see if this person in front of me was okay that hit the guardrail. And I got out of my car and I walked around, and it was a woman, and she was really shook up, still sitting at the wheel. Her car was lodged against the guardrail, kind of out on the road a little bit, and I was standing there talking to her, making sure she was okay, and I was just getting ready to say, you probably ought to get out of the car and get on the other side of the guardrail, when all of a sudden I had this sudden, I just knew the Lord was wanting me to get around behind the car. Now, get around behind the car. So I did. I stopped talking and I went around behind the car, only to hear a noise and see a car sliding sideways right at me. Now I'm thinking, I know I was supposed to get behind. This all was happening so fast. And now there's a car coming right at me where I was told to go. But here's what happened. And to this day, you had to see it to believe it. It was like unseen hands took this car and moved it around, moved it right around me, and it slammed right where I was standing by her. Again, the poor woman got hit again, but she was okay. I would have been crushed by that car. But I saw with my own eyes this car move there was nothing even, I don't know the word for it in physics, that would have made that car suddenly go the other way. But it's like my hands just took it and just moved it right around me. I knew either God himself or the angels that he's assigned to minister to me took that car and moved it. I am convinced of that to this day. And many of you today could get up here and testify about the time God told you something. I remember Paulina talking about a time when she was in a car and was told to slow down or stop, and she would have hit a truck head on had it not been for that ministering. So they're sent to protect us. And it says they're sent to protect those with their heirs of salvation. If you're outside Christ today and you're not sure that you've trusted him as Savior, I want you to have that protection. I want you to trust him as Savior because he loved you so much. And he wants to be able to do more for you in your life. You know, they assist us even when we're not aware of them. And sometimes people look at me like I have three heads when I say angels can even appear and talk to you in your dreams. You know that? Now you're saying, uh-oh, Kevin, you're getting out there in strange land. Oh, really? Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, this is Joseph. Joseph found out Mary was pregnant. And it wasn't his, right? And he didn't know. His first thought was, she's been fooling around on me. But she hadn't been. Because God chose Mary for Jesus to be born, and she was a virgin. But here's what happened to Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, where? In a dream. In a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. So this angel, it's a spirit, appeared to him in a dream. And I could do a whole sermon on dreams. They're not all of God, by the way, if you haven't noticed. But when you're asleep, and scientists try to pretty much get a handle on what dreams are, they feel like it's your mind and your subconscious. But see, your soul and your spirit are connected. Your mind is connected. When you get a thought to tell a lie, since my Bible says Satan is a liar and the author of every lie, who's putting that thought there? Did you just dream it up on your own? Or are you being tempted? So in the spiritual realm, he has an access, God does, angels do, and yes, demons do, to your mind. Because you're made up of a spirit. If anybody ever doubted that you're going to live forever, that you have a soul, you think about that. When you're unconscious asleep and your body is just gone and you're sleeping, there's something else going on in you. And God has access to that, to your spirit. That's why Joseph was visited by an angel in a dream. And I tell the kids all the time, you have nightmares at night? You know, the devil's tormenting you. Just wake up, pray, ask Jesus to come and protect you, ask him to chase that old devil away and go right back to sleep. And I think sometimes I think kids get it a lot easier than adults. We're too logical, aren't we? One day, when we were talking about dreams and sleeping, and I used to come up and see my mom and dad on the weekends, and I lived way down in Evansville, and I'd stay the weekend. And sometimes I'd leave kind of late if we had a family gathering. And one night it was like that, and it was dark, and I got through Terre Haute, and I was heading down 41. I'll never forget this. This is another one of these cool things. Could have been tragic. But I was fighting sleep. You ever been driving a long time, and you know you're going to sleep? You turn the radio up. I do stupid things. You guys would laugh. I slap myself in the head. Or I'll yell real loud, I'm tired! I'm tired! I'll yell at myself something really goofy things to keep myself awake. I roll the window down. I've stuck my head out the window trying to stay awake. Well, that night it was like that, but I got too comfortable. And I started going to sleep, and I had the radio on, and I got so comfortable that all the sound kind of went away, you know? Just kind of went away. And I fell asleep going down 41 at the wheel. And while I was asleep, and it couldn't have been very long, unless I was just had my hands locked on the wheel real good for a while, I kid you not, I heard a voice and it was so loud. It was not me. While I was sleeping, and this is what it said to me. I was asleep. I just suddenly heard, "Kevin!" Like that. Yes. That loud. "Kevin!" It wasn't me. I was asleep. I woke up and my car was going off the road towards the cement culvert. And boy, whew, and my heart beat so fast all the way to the sand. And I kept saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." I knew that that was not me. I knew it was a ministering angel or maybe the Lord himself, but that voice was so loud it could not have been me. And it was at the perfect time to wake me up. How many of you have experiences like that? I just want to see. Oh, yes. Look around. Look around. Yes, ministering spirits, angels. Saved my life that night, perhaps. And also when that stuff happens, it makes you think about the brevity of life and how you could go at any moment and how God is always protecting you. Think about that. And a lot of times when you don't even know it, Hebrews 13:2. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Do you think that was just for them that back in those days? Do you think angels went into retirement and moved to Saturn to live? Maybe Pluto, which is no longer a planet, I guess, according to some people. No. And think about that scripture for a moment. It's Hebrews 13:2, if you want to write that down. "Don't be slack in entertaining strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware." If you go back to the days of Lot, and an angel had to get them out of that city, the evil people in that city who compassed around the house thought those angels were men. They can take the form of people, and you don't even know it. Now, kids, don't go around talking to strangers out there, because there's also the dark side, right? But if you have the Holy Spirit, He can show you. And maybe some have been around people that when you left them, there was something really odd about that encounter that was different, right? But this is in the New Testament. This isn't Genesis stuff. This is New Testament. He still has His ministering angels out there to protect you and assist you. And He says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." You don't know who you're talking to. Sort of like the other day when I was in Pittsburgh and Jeff Gordon came to town. It was a great big to-do. And, you know, he was riding in the car and it was pretty awesome and cool. And he got up, real gracious guy. He was pretty humble. Of course, Angie knows all the dirt on him because she went to school with him. But we won't go there. But he's a really nice fella. And we're leaving this gathering and they interviewed him and all that. And as I was walking away, there's this older guy coming up, going to his car, and you know, and there's another fellow there, and we were talking to the guy, and you know, that was really cool. Jeff Gordon's a class act, you know, and all this stuff. It's a good thing I said that. All of a sudden, here comes the star news to this guy, asking him all these questions about Jeff Gordon. And I thought, what does this old guy know about Jeff? And he's answering all these personal questions. And when he left, "How do you know so much about Jeff?" "Well, I'm his dad." You don't know who you're talking to. Oops. Good thing I didn't say something wrong, right? Huh? And your mom said, "Only you, Kevin." I said, "Yeah, some things never change." But with angels, you do not know. God could be assigning one to you sometime this week. And don't go around giving people funny looks all week. They're going to think there's something wrong with you. But it's the truth. It's the truth. And I'm going to say right now, when we talk about angels, the tendency for human nature is, well, wow, God assigns these people. I want to talk to these angels. I want to have interaction. That's not what God wants you to do. And I'm going to say right now, as I say this, be mature as a Christian. Don't go seeking them out. Because we also have the other side who likes to transform himself as an angel of light. God doesn't want you to go seek angels out. He wants you to seek Jesus. Amen? Jesus will assign the angels, and it'll be a good encounter if you have one. But don't seek them out. Don't try to find them and talk to them. If they're good angels, they're not going to let you do it anyway. They'll do what God wants them to do, and they'll be on their way. But don't go doing that. I've heard of people really wanting to know. The Word says seek Jesus. and you'll have those benefits. Now, final thing I'm going to tell you about story-wise in my life, and a lot of you have heard this because I repeat myself and say these stories over and over, but there's a lot of guests here today, and I was kind of hoping, I don't see Sarah here today, but Wyatt, I think your mom was in the car or in the van when this happened. I was kind of wishing she was here because I wanted her to pull this out of her memory bank. I used to, in the little town of Thorntown, as many of you know, Gary's dad wanted me to start a teenage church, and I did, and that's took a lot out of me, but boy, was it worth it. And I logged and wrote down over 200 kids and people that came through that little house in the 3.5 years I was doing that, which for Thorntown is quite something. A lot of kids. And kids, teenagers, like to do things. They like to get out and do things. You teach them, and then you teach them by doing things, too. So I always had to keep thinking of things to do with these kids. At least once a month, we'd go out on an activity. We'd go do something. And they didn't care what you did. This particular day, and it was a Saturday, I told the kids, I need to go to a Christian bookstore in Indianapolis. We need to find some materials. Because at this point, when I had this church full of teenagers in this little old house over on Church Street, some of their little brothers and sisters started coming. So we developed a little Sunday school. I had teenagers teaching little kids in that little place. Some of you might be thinking, oh no. But anyway, they did a good job. So a bunch of kids showed up that day, and all we were going, didn't do, was a Christian bookstore. But they just wanted to go. They wanted to do something. So I had an old beat-up 77 Chevy van that I probably should have never put a one kid in. Thank God for his angels, right? That's when I didn't kill them all. But the van got filled up with kids, and we went down to the Christian bookstore, and we found literature for the little kids and stuff like that. And on the way home, and you older folks remember this, as you go up 65, now we have a Ambest, used to be a 76, but on up the road there was another truck stop called the Blue and White up off the Whitestown exit. How many of you remember the Blue and White truck stop up there? So now I know who's old and who's not. But anyway, about that time, the kids started saying, I'm going to go to the restroom. They want to stop and get junk, like gum and stuff. And usually we went to Mickey D's or something anyway. But I noticed my gas gauge was pretty much empty. So I says, all right, I'm going to pull in here, go in and get your gum, go to the restroom. Now, I don't want this to be an hour long because it was getting dark. We'd been gone a good part of the day. This is before cell phones came in. And the kids did pretty good, and I fill up the van, and they come back out, and finally we get all together, and I'm doing a head count, and they're all in this old beat-up van, and we take off up the side road to get to 267 to get back on I-65 and head north. Well, I get about halfway to 267, and the van dies. Just sputters out, stops running. And I couldn't start it. And I thought, this van has finally kicked the bucket. Because it was always on its last leg, you know. A lot of you have had vehicles like that. I tried and coasted over to the side, and Valerie, Jeff Woodard was in that van. And finally, after trying to start it, Jeff says, Jeff's your brother-in-law, right? Yeah. He says, and he was a teenager, he goes, well, Kevin, why don't we pray and ask God to start the van, you know? Really, I'm a youth leader, and I didn't even pray. And I said, you know what, Jeff? That's what we should have did. I said, you know, your faith seems to be right there right now, and mine doesn't because I know this old van. Why don't you pray? So Jeff prays, and everybody goes, all right, Kevin, start it. And I crank it. And guess what happens? No. It didn't start. So being the good youth pastor that I thought I was, I thought, okay, spiritual damage control now. We prayed, nothing happened, right? So I give them a theological thing. Well, God must have something else in mind. You know, and really, that's true. We found out it was true. But I just said it because I didn't want him to, God, why didn't you answer? And have him go through all this stuff, you know, about why didn't God answer my prayer? And Jeff, he goes, well, that does a lot for your faith. So, I gave him what I felt I should give him. We'll just wait and see what God has. And I noticed it was dark and nobody could get on their cell phones and call parents because we didn't have cell phones. I had all these kids I was responsible for. So at one point, I thought, we're going to have to all walk back to the blue and light, white, get on the payphone. People call their parents. It's going to be a mess. It's after dark. And while I'm thinking on these things, cars were coming off the interstate, going up the little frontage road, on up the road. And here come another one, and I could see the headlights coming. And it started slowing down. It's slowing down. It's slowing down. I thought, he's going to see if we're in trouble, or then I thought of the negative side. Well, gosh, I'm responsible for these kids. What if this is some nut in this car? You know, you think those things. I'm just being real here. And the car pulls up, and this guy rolls the window down, and he looked at me. Now, he had, the first thing I noticed is his eyes did one of these, just look right through you. Weird eyes. I remember the eyes. And I thought, this is either going to be good or it's going to be bad. And, of course, the kids are all listening. They have their side windows open. They want to know who this is, deaf included. And I think Sarah was in the van that night. But this is what the man said to me. I've never forgotten it. It freaks me out. It's most of you heard, a lot of you heard this story, but most of you haven't. He says, I was going up the interstate, and the Lord told me to take this exit. He told me you would be sitting here. And he told me why you were sitting here. And he said, he told me the reason why you'd be sitting here is because you got fuel, and you put diesel fuel in this van instead of gasoline. Something I would have done. Yeah! It was a 77 Chevy van. It had the old gas tank that was big. You could put any kind of a pump in. Now you can't do that. They've got those little round things in there now. And while the kids were in getting their gum, I just grabbed one of the pumps there at the truck stop. It had gas on one side, diesel, and I just filled the whole thing up with diesel. Didn't smell it. Didn't even think about it. Put the cap back on, and that's why it wasn't starting. But this guy said, you put diesel fuel in this vehicle, and the Lord told me to take this exit and tell you this. And I thought, whoa. And I got to thinking, that is something, like I said, I would do. And then he said something very curious after that. And he said, but the real message I was to deliver to you is this. And I knew something supernatural was going on there. He said, here's what the Lord really wants all of you to hear in that van. That the Lord's coming is getting closer and closer, and it is no time to play games with God. That's what he said. Then he rolled his window up, drove off in the night, and his taillights disappeared. He was gone. Now, to this day, I don't know whether I encountered an angel or a saint of God that had the gift of the Holy Spirit called the word of knowledge, because there is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you're alerted to pray for somebody and you don't know why, and you find out later why. You get a dream about somebody and then they show up in your life suddenly. I thought, he's really, really in tune with God, or he's an angel. So on cue, all of the kids, including Jeff, we jump out of the van, we go around, and I take the cap off and stick my big old fat nose in that thing, and I gave it a whiff, and guess what I smelled? Diesel fuel. I did it. I told the kids, look, I got to call my brother Terry. He's going to come out with a siphon and siphon this out of here. Plug your ears because he's going to say some words I don't want you kids to hear. Those of you that know Terry know that. I said, but he's got a heart of gold. It'll help you when you're in trouble. And sure enough, Terry came out and everything happened as planned. We got the parents called. We got the kids home. But I've never forgotten that instance that night. Who was that person? Was he a ministering spirit sent to us that night? I don't think Jeff will ever forget it. I hope he's never forgot it, because now this is, that was 91 or 2. That's 20 some years ago. That happened. Pretty cool you're here today, Valerie, because Jeff was one of the kingpins in that van that day. But anyway, God sends them out to protect us. Even if things seem to press in against you, he is there. He's either there with his presence, and it should always be with you if you're a Christian, because he should be living inside of you. But he also sends these ministering spirits because he loves you. He cares about you, contrary to what the devil wants to stick in your head all the time. He loved you enough to take the form of a man through his son Jesus and go to his death in your place and take the punishment that you deserve eternally. So think about that. He loves you as children enough to send ministering angels every day. I'm about to close here. But I also want to go on to say angels will assist our Lord in a great event that will deliver us from this world before the world is destroyed. And the world will be destroyed. I always tell people it's not the global warming we're talking about in the news that I'm worried about. But we need to be more concerned because the Bible says it doesn't talks about weird weather patterns and stuff. And it's probably from the gradual warming. But what we got to be concerned about is our own soul getting out of here alive. Nobody will in the flesh. And the earth will be burned. That's the global warming I believe in. It's going to be destroyed. But before it's destroyed, Jesus says this, and it should be good news to the Christian. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, and we talked about that earlier, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the scriptures say it will be like blood red. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels, this is so cool, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. All over the earth, people who trust in Jesus, the angels will assist in getting us out of here. Just like he assisted Lot and his wife to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Unfortunately, his wife looked back. Didn't make it. But there's going to be a day where his angels will assist in getting us out of here. This world is like the Titanic. It's going down. And you can be depressed about it, or you can say, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm going to a better place where I never have to worry about this again. I saw that movie, Titanic. It bothers me every time I see it, when people were eating and drinking and marrying and having a good time. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but they were unaware of the danger around them. Even when they struck the iceberg in the beginning, it wasn't like that. And even as the thing was going down, the band just kept playing on the deck. Not many got on the lifeboats. And a lot of the rich people got on the lifeboats, and they had the poor in another section of the boat. A lot of those poor people couldn't make it. But it's not that way in the kingdom. Because Jesus invites everybody to come. You can easily escape. Easily. By trusting in Jesus and calling on him today to be your Lord and Savior, to come into your heart, into your life and live, remove your sins, to take away the bad things you've done, past, present, and future, may I say? So I'm going to ask you the question, and Bill, you can come on up, musicians can come on up. We're going to sing a song in a minute, and I'll tell you what page to turn to in just a moment. But I want to ask you the question, are you ready today? Do you have the protection of Jesus Christ on you and in you? Will you be one of those that the angels come for when they get us out of here? Are you trusting Jesus Christ to take you to a wonderful place where you'll never have to deal with these things again or the trials of our life again? And if you can't say to me, honestly, Kevin, I've trusted Jesus. I know a place and a time where I settled it for my soul once and for all. I came to him just as I was, and I asked him to take away my sins and come into my heart. If you don't have that time in your life, I need you to listen to me before you leave here. You can leave here by simply asking Jesus to take away your sins and take over your life and trust. That simple act of faith, because the Bible says Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is what? Who? Oh, I didn't hear that loud enough. His name is? Yes. The Bible says if you call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved on the name of the Lord. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And I don't want anybody walking out of here knowing I need to do this, but I'll put it off. Bible says now is the accepted time for salvation. So while we're singing this song on page 501 in your hymn book, go to page 501. It's not a real familiar one. We've sung it before. And when you have that in your hymn book, I want you to stand so I know you're there. And if you're somebody today that you know you need to be born again, I'm going to ask you to do a simple step of faith and come up here. And then I'm going to ask one of the leaders or somebody in the church to not leave you up here in front of everybody, but to take you back in the youth room or one of our youth rooms and talk to you about being born again and pray with you so you're not up here in front of everybody. I think that's a good way to do it. So while we sing this song, if you need Christ in your life, don't let pride get in your way. Come on up here and we'll have somebody pray with you privately. If you're a Christian today and you know you received Christ as Savior, but you get worried about the times you're living in, and that old spirit of fear tries to knock at your door, I want you to come up and get some prayer. We'll pray for God's strength for you for the days to come. We'll pray for you. We'll ask God to infuse some Holy Ghost strength in you, okay? And if you have any other need, the altar's always open. We can pray. So I'm not even there myself. Let's go to page 501 and sing this song. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear me cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. The storm passes over till the thunder ceases, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there's no use to try. There's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll be blessed. When the storms ever die, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in your presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me.
keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Everybody bow your heads for a moment before we close. I'm just going to ask the question, and I only want an uplifted hand. You say, Kevin, I want you to pray for me this week. I want you to pray for me this week. I didn't come forward, but I know that I need prayer. I won't say who you are. I'll just pray for you. Anybody like that? Amen. Amen. All right. Lord Jesus, at the close of this service, I know when we leave a place and your spirit begins to move, that it's often quenched when we leave the building because of the cares of this life. And I pray anything from this message that was from your hand, from your words and from your spirit, that it would go deep into the hearts of all who heard it today. I come against the enemy in the name of Jesus to not allow the message to be taken out of the heart from you, Jesus. We bind the enemy in Jesus' name to take that message. And Lord, if there be anybody here that really knows they need salvation, help them not to put it off. Let them, even before they leave this building, seek me out or seek a leader out and say, I want to know I'm ready. Let them not leave this building alone. So Jesus, bless everybody on their way. Thank you, Lord, for sending these people here today. And thank you most of all for you and how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming. It means a lot, mostly to the Lord. Go in peace in the presence of God. Have a good, restful day. Enjoy yourself. Thanks for coming.